أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على رسول الكريم وعلى آله وأصحابه من سنة بسنة المدين. أما بعد، جزاك الله خير. I think that Sheikh has already put it in third gear now, it's going fast. We finish a whole big surah in four rakah, and then you'll finish another big surah in another four rakah, and then I think by Saturday, here it will be up to what Bunton is. Today we listen to the beautiful surah, Surah Isra, and in the next four verses and four rak'ahs you'll listen to Surah Kahf, two of the very, very moving surahs. And Surah Isra, the other name for it is Bani Israel, because it talks about the issues of Bani Israel. And the surah starts off with, as you heard the first ayats, about the waqi'ah of Isra, the incident of Isra, from Mecca to Jerusalem for the Prophet ﷺ, when Allah says, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى الَّذِي بَارَكْنَا حَوْلَهُ لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا. What's the purpose and wisdom and hikmah of this? As Allah says here, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا, from the signs of Allah, from the qudr of Allah, from the power of Allah. In the time of the desert, when there were no jet planes, no fast-paced vehicles or means of transportation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took his abd, his slave, Rasul from Mecca to Jerusalem, to all the way to Arsh, and then all the way back, in such a way, as the riwayah tell us, without the bed getting cold. Because you know, when we sleep in the beds, our body heat gets absorbed into the bed, so the bed gets warm. And then when you leave the bed, it begins to cool down. But if you return in short time, you'll feel that it's not that cold. So the riwayat of the ahadith tell us that how short a time it took. It didn't take the whole night, as some people perceive that it was in one whole night he went. And that's why the Quraysh of Makkah could not believe in this waqi'ah. It's amazing. It takes us months on camel to go from here to Jerusalem. And this prophet of yours is saying that in one night he went there, plus he went all the way up there. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over here is mentioning about the waqi'ah of Isra, the incident of Isra. And the incident of Mi'raj is mentioned in Surah Najm, Surah 53, over there, the first few verses Allah SWT tells us. What is the purpose and behind this? Allah SWT is telling us that right after the next ayah, then Allah SWT says, وَآتَيْنَا مُوسَى الْكِتَابَ جَعَلْنَا هُدًى لِبَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ أَلَّا تَتَّخِذُوا مِنْ دُونِي وَكِيلًا. With the ayah for the incident of Isra comes the next ayah, the incident or the message of Bani Israel and Musa and the Kitab, Torah, Huda. It was a guidance for them. Allah's mother is saying that this qawm that came before you, before the Ummah of Muhammad was a very blessed qawm, very beloved qawm, very muqarrab ila Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But because of their disobediences and because of their breaking of the pact, they were taken away, this privilege. And now this privilege has been bestowed upon the Ummah of Muhammad alayhi salam. They are the most muqarrab, most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And at the same time, in the surah, Allah's mother is warning us, me and you, the followers of Muhammad alayhi salam, that don't become like the followers of Musa alayhi salam, and then perhaps Allah will be upset with us also. So therefore, we are being warned over here. Some few points that are very interesting over here that I wanted to pick up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us about وَجَعَلْنَا اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ آيَتَيْنِ فَمَحَوْنَا آيَةَ اللَّيْلِ وَجَعَلْنَا آيَةَ النَّهَارِ مُبْصِرًا لِتَبْدُوا فَضْلًا مِنْ رَبِّكُمْ وَلِتَعْلَمُوا عَدَدَ السِّنِينَ وَالْحِسَابَ. So that وَكُلَّ شَيْءٍ فَسَّلْنَاهُ تَفْصِيلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking from his ajab, from his miracles, and informing us that he has made the night and the day, and he has also made for us the changing of the night and day and the stars and everything, so that we can know the adad as-sinin, the number of years, you know, calendar and months and years and all these, a way of measuring time, that it is 2004 now. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saying, this all that you have, O Bani Adam, is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah also says, مَنْ اِهْتَدَى فَإِنَّمَا يَهْتِي لِنَفْسِهِ وَمَنْ ذَلَّ فَإِنَّمَا يَذِلُّ عَلَيْهَا وَلَا تَذِرُ وَاذِرَةُ وِزْرَ أُخْرَى. Allah tells us that no one will bear the burden of anyone else. Everybody will bear their own burden. And whoever is guided, is guided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and it's for their own benefit. And whoever is misguided, then they don't harm or hurt anyone except themselves. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us also about the issue of the understanding of human mind and brain. Sometimes we speak or do things out of our own without having any knowledge of. Speculation. It's like just presuming things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in verse number 36, وَلَا تَقْفُ مَا لَيْسَ لَكَ بِهِ عِلْمٍ إِنَّ السَّمْعَ والبصر والفؤاد كل أولئك كان عنه مسؤولا. ولا تقف ما ليس لك به علم. Then oh human being, oh insan, don't say of something ما ليس لك به علم, you have no knowledge of. Don't say it, don't talk about it, don't discuss it, don't spread it, don't propagate it. You know, theories after theories, speculations, rumors, thinking, oh maybe the world was this, maybe the universe was like that, maybe the gases, materials. Unless you have something that is very, very concrete and basis on Dalil and Burhan, don't say it. Why? Because in the sama, where your hearing, wal basara, your sight, wal fu'ada, which here means both the heart and the aql, as the Arabs used to call the aql as many times as fu'ad, kullun kana ulaika anhu mas'ula, all of these three faculties, faculties of hearing, faculties of seeing, faculties of intellect and thinking and pondering, is accountable to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, are you ready for that? Are you ready to answer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for everything that you dwell with in this world? You know, there's a sign of intellectualism here. There's a sign of importance of knowledge and understanding and research for us, that what should we do, whatever we should do, should be in the guidelines of Quran. We cannot come up with theories that are against it. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us also, while Allah talks about, look at the, you know, this is one of the beauty of the tafsir of Quran, that when you see the ayats that come before and after a certain ayah, you see the, it's like having a seed sown with another. It's like intertwined, interwoven together. The next ayah then directly talks about the issue of pride and arrogance and boasting, kibr, you know, having ghurur, having thinking that this human being is something, I'm something. After Allah talks about knowledge and faculties of hearing and seeing and thinking, right after that Allah says, وَلَا تَمْشِي فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Don't walk on this earth boastfully, arrogantly, with your nose up and your chest up and your shoulders up and thinking that I'm some big shot. Why? Because Allah says, إِنَّكَ, or you insan, yeah, you are insan, you, إِنَّكَ. The pronoun is لِلْمُخَاطِبْ, ذَمِيرٌ لِلْمُخَاطِبْ. Okay, Allah is saying, the one who is reading this Quran, Allah is saying to them, إِنَّكَ لَنْ تَخْرِقَ الْأَرْضَ وَلَنْ تَبْلُغَ الْجِبَالَ تُولًا. Don't boast, O insan. Why? Because you cannot create this earth, nor can you march all the way to the top of the mountain without the aid of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You can't do anything. So why are you boasting? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is addressing the issue of kibr, saying that, O insan, whatever you have, your skills, your qualities, your capabilities, your honor and everything is a blessing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why are you trying to use that to show off? Because Allah doesn't like show off. And Allah is saying, can you create the earth? Can you do the mountains? Can you do things? Then why? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us about the issue of the Quraysh in Mecca. You know that they used to attribute to themselves the boys. Whenever the boys will be there in the family, they'll say it's us. And they used to attribute the females, they used to call the angels, this was their aqidah, and Allah is addressing that in this ayah, that they used to have this belief that the angels are the daughters of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the human boy that is born is a son of God, son of na'uz billah. Allah says, أَفَأَسْفَاكُ رَبُّكُمْ لِلْبَنِينَ وَاتَّخَذَ مِنَ الْمَلَائِكَةَ إِنَاثًا إِنَّكُمْ لَتَقُولُونَ قَوْلًا عَظِيمًا. You say a very big word and you don't realize what are you accusing, what are you saying, and that's why Allah says, وَلَقَدْ صَرَّفْنَا فِي هَذَا الْقُرَانِ لِيَذَّكَرُوا وَمَا يَزِيدُهُمْ إِلَّا نُفُورًا. We have given things in this Quran so that they may remember and think upon, but it does not give them anything except in further disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also tells us regarding the issue of shaitan, the waqi'ah of Adam alayhi salam and shaitan, how he makes the ighwa deviation. And then Allah subhanahu mentions over here regarding shaitan that, you know, attack them with your salt, with your sound, and also attack them with your cavalry and armory. And from amongst them we see the two of the ammunition that shaitan uses against insan bani Adam is our own things that we own, and it backfires. He returns the ammunition against us. It's like somebody having their own ammunition gun and they want to get the enemy, but the enemy turns you around and shoots you with your own gun, with your own fingerprints on. That's what Allah subhanahu says, وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. Allah subhanahu says to the shaitan that, look, you can use them, see if you can attack my ibad, because Allah subhanahu says only those people will be attacked and be mesmerized who don't have ikhlas in their soul, in their niyyah, in everything. So they'll be vulnerable, their immune system will be deficient because of non-ikhlas. So they will be in the attack of shaitan. But the one who has a class, no matter what the shaitan attacks with, would not. They will be saving themselves. So two of the things that shaitan uses to attack us is sharing. وَشَارِكُمْ شَرَاكَ As we know, sharika, shiraka, partnership. Allah's mother is saying that shaitan makes partnership with us. Subhanallah. In what thing? Two of the most valuable things. وَشَارِكُمْ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ Man that Allah has given us, flus. If we, this man can become a hujja either alayna or lana. Lana if we in fi sabilillah. If we give, like Brother Imtiaz keeps asking us over here, if we give in the fi sabilillah, then that man does not be counted against us. It counts for us, lana. But if we don't and we hold back and then we waste that money, then that man is counted against us. And that is what Allah is saying, that shaitan sometimes comes and uses our man, our salaries, our money, our wealth, against us. How? Uses, whispers in our mind and makes us waste. Israf. Mubadhirin. Allah, as in this surah also, we listened to the Shaykh today, he said, in the ayah Allah says in the Quran, that don't be mubadhirin, don't be spendthrifts. Why? Inna al-mubadhirina kanu ikhwana ash-shayateen. Certainly the spendthrifts are the brothers. Brothers, they're buddy buddies, you know, friends and buddies of who? The shayateen. So Allah's mother saying that wasting money ruthlessly and just discharging is a sin, is a bad thing, and that is how shaitan is making us ighwa, deviation, by making us waste money. And how does he partnership with us in our children? By making us not do the right tarbiyah. If we as parents fail to do the right nurturing and grooming of our children, it's as if shaitan has been partnership with them, and now shaitan will use my own son, my own daughter, against the deen of Allah, against Islam, and against me, and what will I earn? What is my offer? I've lost everything. No matter how much a good a car I give my son or daughter, no matter how much a good a clothes I give them, no matter how much of a good facility I give them, but if I did not give them the tarbiyah of Islamiyya, and they are mahroom from Jannah, I haven't given them anything. Just like if you remember the Khalifa Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, as who was related as the fifth Khalifa, when he was dying, he did not leave anything for his children. And he brought his sons, he called them on his deathbed, and he said, look, sons, I did not leave for you mansions and wealth and things and loaded up, but all I leave with you is Quran and Sunnah and this tarbiyah of the Quran and Sunnah, which will be sufficient for you to get to Jannah after I close my eyes today. He was very peaceful. He says, I have itminan that I don't have enough money. I don't have the source of deviation, the source of problem. And this is the zuhud of the awliya, zuhud of that generation of Muslims, that the richness of the heart, the richness of the soul, that they were not worried with money and wealth and materialism and monetary things, but they were more worried about the wealth of spirituality, the wealth of the soul. And that is what is being said over here. Then Allah also tells us regarding the issue of where did it go? Okay. Yes, Allah then tells us about the issue of Salah, as we listened the last few verses before the sajda we did, the five daily Salah that Allah has mentioned, and also the issue of Tahajjud. And then Allah also tells us about وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ. This was the Sabab al-Nuzul, as we know that the people had come to the Prophet ﷺ to ask him about Ruh, and this was because, and this surah and the next surah Kahf is interrelated, because there were three questions that the Ahli Kitab of Medina asked the Quraysh, the pagans, those who were against the Prophet ﷺ and Muslims, that go and see if this Prophet of yours is really truly a Prophet from Allah and he has connection with the previous Prophets. By asking him these three questions, they said, ask him if he's truly a prophet, because they knew in their biblical, in their holy books, they had known the information. So they said, ask him about the ruh, the soul, ask him about Zulqarnain, and ask him about the people of Kahf, Ashabul Kahf, because they knew about it. They said, we were not going to tell you anything. They told the Quraysh, we're not going to tell you anything. You go first, find out. When you bring back the information, we're going to corroborate. We're going to see, does he say any, is there any discrepancy with it? This is the hila, the conspiracy that they used to have. And who did they employ? Someone in front of them. They didn't come directly to ask him questions. And that's why one of the answer of those three questions is in this surah. وَيَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. They ask you about the ruh of Prophet ﷺ. Allah is revealing here, addressing the Prophet ﷺ, that these people, they ask you about the question of ruh. Tell them, قل قل الروح من أمر ربي. Nothing else Allah has, no hidden treasures has been revealed about this soul. The ajaib of this ruh, this spirit, this soul. Allah has kept that within His own. All He told the Prophet to tell them, قل الروح من أمر ربي. Tell them that the ruh, the soul, is from the order of Allah. That's it. Full stop. Period. No other information, no other things. Because before that, even prior to that, no other Prophet gave much detail and things. So it corroborated, no discrepancy. Then the second thing they asked also about Zulqarnain, which is mentioned in Surah Kahf, which you listened from the Shaykh today, about the person with the two horns, Zulqarnain, Qarn is one, Qarnain is two. And about how he was able to, you listen to that story in Surah Kahf about how he was able to close the door on the Ya'juj and Ma'juj, who are till this day trying their best to come out, and they cannot come out until Allah wills it. There will be a time when, again, in that surah is mentioned, وَهُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ حَدَبٍ يَنْسِلُونَ. From every mountainous areas they burst out. It's like explosion, boom, and it comes out. And the people come in and they ransack. As the riwayat of the hadith, they tell us from Ashrat al-Sa'ad, that when Ya'juj Ma'juj come out, it's one of the great signs of the Yawm al-Qiyamah, and it's one of the greatest fitna on this earth. And you will see people all over the place, not a single piece of land. It's like a swarm of bees around you, a swarm of ants around you. You have no place to walk. That's it. That's kind of it. And then the other thing Allah mentions about Ashab al-Kahf, and we'll finish with that very quickly, as you will listen in the next few verses. Ashab al-Kahf, these were, as Allah mentions here, that some of them they say is three, and the fourth is the dog, some say it's four, and the fifth, and then six, and seven. But nobody knows really what the true number is. It's just speculation. Rajman bil ghayb. Allah says they're throwing stones in the dark. Just throwing stones. Mere speculation. How many of them were there? But what we do know is that there were fitya. Fitya is the plural of fatah. Fatah we call a young shab, young boy. Meaning they were young people, energetic, enthusiastic, devoted, committed, and they have an enthusiasm of doing something. You know, not that lazy, lackadaisical attitude, yeah, when the deen of Allah will be ghalib on earth, we'll think about it. No. They had a burning desire evolving inside, that we cannot rest in peace while we see the qawaneen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala being massacred on earth. Because they lived at a time when there was a tyrant and king who was oppressing the qawm, the village people, and was stopping them from practicing tawheed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will hear is giving not just us Muslimin, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Kahf in the first 20 verses is giving us an ibrah, an eye-opening lesson for all of humanity, not just us. Every human being who will come on this earth before Qiyamah will see that those people who fulfill their pact and their agreement and promise with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how Allah saves them miraculously. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that they said, فَقَالُوا رَبَّنَا آتِنَا مِنْ لَدُنْكَ رَحْمَةً وَهَيِّئْ لَنَا مِنْ أَمْرِنَا رَشَدًا. Allah says, "In our fityatu al-kahfi," that when they came towards the cave, because Allah inspired them to come towards the cave, because they were frustrated and fed up with the society and the zulm and oppression, so they reached Allah, they made dua, and the stajab of the dua was that Allah guided them towards the cave. So as they came, they said to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, "Rabbana atin min ladunka rahma wa hayyi lana min amrina rashada." Oh Allah, guide us to your mercy, guide us to your path, and make from amongst us someone who will lead and guide us. So for they lived in that cave for 309 years. Thalatha mi'a sinina wa izdadu tis'a, for the lunar and solar months differences. The lunar calendar has 29 or 30 maximum days, as we know, we keep seeing. And the other Gregorian solar calendar goes on to 30 or 31 or 28 days. So the difference with that is that if you look after 300 years, there's a difference of 9 years. That's what Allah SWT says. Allah SWT is even giving us calculations of days in the two systems in the Quran, scientific ayah. And Allah SWT here, as we know that the Prophet SWT said that whoever recites the first 10 or 20 ayahs or the whole surah of the Quran, of the surah of Kahf on the day of Friday, every morning before the Salat of Jummah, then they will be saved from the fitna of Dajjal. This surah, Surah Kahf, has a big importance and value, ahmiyyah, in the sense of protection against the fitna of Dajjal. Because the Prophet said that the fitna of Dajjal is ashaddu fitna ala al-ard, the most humongous and most gravest fitna test or examination on my ummah on this earth. So if you want to be protected from Dajjal, he said, keep reciting Surah Kahf on Yawm al-Jummah, because Yawm al-Jummah huwa Eidunana. Eidul Asbu'i lil Muslimin is our Eid, weekly Eid.
And it's the day when we refresh our soul and rejuvenate ourselves and read the surah. Why did the Prophet, what is the ibrah? What's the lesson behind? Why did the wisdom behind? Why the Prophet said, you want to be safe from Dajjal and the fitna? If you live that long that it comes in your time, you want to be safe from that, keep reading. You mean, have preparation. It's like the same thing, like I said a few days ago, if you remember, when Allah told Nuh alayhi salam, start building the ship. A long time ago he's building ship. And people used to come and make tazkheer. Oh, what are you doing? I mean, we don't see no tufan, we don't see any storm. Why are you building such a huge ship? Because they didn't know, and he knew that Allah is preparing. In the same way, Allah through the Prophet is preparing us, telling us that, look, if you want to be saved from the fitna of Dajjal, even if you don't live for that long, but still, when you, the way you can prepare, like Nuh alayhi salam prepared by building a ship, we can prepare by reading or memorizing these first few ayahs and reading it every Friday. And what's the wisdom behind it? Because if you look at the whole Surah Kahf, from beginning till end, there are qisas in it, stories that bring the strength of Iman and bring the power or stamina or courage of tawakkul ala Allah. That no matter how difficult the storm in front of us, we will river through it with the power of Iman. The big points in there are the issue of Qiyamah, the Ahwal of Qiyamah, and the issue of Ma'amilat and Ihtisab. And in the beginning, the qissa of Ashabul Kahf, that look, they went through such tough times, and Allah saved them miraculously by giving them a sleep, without food, without drink, without changing clothes, without the clothes getting torn or dirty, anything. And so much so that the sun had to obey the order of Allah to not shine on them. As Allah SWT says, we can't go into detail because of shortage of time, but if you look, you listen to the ayahs, pay attention how Allah SWT is mentioning about the shams, where the taghrib shams, when the sun would come out, it would be ordered to move its path a little bit so that the sun doesn't fall on the front of the cave, because they were sleeping right in front of the cave. They weren't sleeping inside so that they had shade, no, in the front. And when the sun would be going down, ghurub, also, they would, sun will be ordered by Allah to shift a little bit so it doesn't come. Because when sun is going down, you'll see in your houses, there's the rays of sun coming to your windows. And when the sun comes out in the morning also, the rays are coming in the morning. So if you're sleeping at your home, in your home, with the windows open, in the, with the curtains open in the daytime, you'll be disturbed with sleep. Allah is giving them 309 years of sleep, day and night. Night, okay, it's dark, no problem. But in the daytime, Allah is making arrangements for them. Miraculous thing, that the other creations of Allah, powerful creations of Allah like sun, were ordered to move from their path for who? For insan. That's why Allah said, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. The lesson Allah is giving, that if this insan fulfills the path of La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah, even the suns and the moons, Allah Azim, will make sujood to us. وآخر دعوانا بالله العظيم والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد.